And I was anticipating lesser people. I praise God that you are all here. Amen? Yeah, the snow does come on Sundays. If you have your Bibles, please turn them over to the book of James. We will be discussing one verse this afternoon. This is in James 5, verse 12. If you don't have your Bible, I have the verse on the screen, only because there's one verse. I'm reading from the New King James Version. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth, or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes, and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. This is the word of the Lord. Let's say another word of prayer and then we'll get into our message. Father, we thank you for your word that rescues, that is alive, that heals, that comforts. We know, Father God, that you are with us. And we ask, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to teach us. Open our hearts and our minds, Father God. Humble us, Lord God, so that we will receive your message for us. Protect us, Father, from the attacks of the enemy. Forgive us, Lord, for all of our sins. Forgive me, Lord, for my sins are many. I pray, Father, for your wisdom and your anointing. Please speak through me to your people, and may they receive your message. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. We are on our, I think I was counting, 26th installation in our study of the book of James that we entitled Radical Change. Not Radical James. Radical Change. Radical Change. I entitled our message tonight based on verse 12 of chapter 5. Are my millennials here? I'm going to try to do it properly. I entitled it, Keeping It Hunted. No, I'm kidding. I know, this is a cringe time for you guys. The whole truth, but nothing but the truth. No cap. I know, I'm trying to annoy you guys. That's my goal. I'm trying to embarrass my children first and foremost. The main idea, our topic tonight, is that the Apostle James, God, through the Apostle James, exhorted the first century believers and us to have a deep, internal, radical change. And in this verse, he gave that word, above all. Imagine, we've discussed so many things already, even in chapter 5, and then James says, above all, utmost importance, that a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, be a truth sayer. Somebody say amen. Yeah. Yep, yep. If you have been a liar most of your life, if you're a believer now, you have to stop it. Right? We can't be the same. We can't be the same. Look at it. If I say it right there. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. There's no need to swear either by heaven or earth or any other oath. You know, when people tell me, or when I'm speaking to people and they say, I'm not going to lie. I'm like, great. In my head, I'm like, great. Because, you know, this is your counseling session. I don't know why would you lie to me if I'm trying to help you. To tell you the truth, like, good. Now we're getting somewhere. Right? There's no need to premise, right? There's no need to premise with that, honestly speaking. Why? Were you not honest earlier? Although we find the need to premise our statements, especially when we're in trouble. Especially when we're in trouble. A little background about this verse is, during the Apostle James' time, oath-taking was so bad and abused that it was practiced as much as if it was a form of profanity. There's some element, but not all, some element of swearing, like making, you know, saying bad words, but not all. Cursing most mostly that is being said here is the fact that you're taking oath using God's name so that you can manipulate the situation. A believer, again, must not lie. His or her words should be guaranteed reliable, full of integrity, no lie whatsoever. The Apostle James, remember his half-brother Jesus Christ, our Lord, his Lord, he's following his older brother's footsteps here in the Sermon on the Mount. Remember in Matthew 5, 33-37? Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely. This is Jesus speaking. But shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black, only temporary, right? But not permanently. But let your yes be yes, and your no be no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Don't say anything that is not true. Don't say you'll do something that you're not willing to keep that promise and then intentionally try to manipulate your statement or your lie or the situation by using God's name in order to get it your way. The Pharisees were doing it. Jesus was scolding the Pharisees. You have been using the temple, the gold, using that to manipulate people, to be corrupt, because they were truly corrupt. I think we know that a little bit, right? Because we all belong to this society where we somehow fall into the lies of politicians, right? When elections come around, there are so many promises being made. That's when they come to church too, you know? They say, God bless America. Trying to use God's name, making everybody think, because majority of the voters are what, Christians, right? So they're like, oh, you know, I got to get in their good side. So many things that are being broken. Jesus and James, same thing that they're saying, the same thing. Swearing on God or taking an oath was an abuse, especially with the religious leaders here. Look again when Jesus scolded them. Matthew 23, 16-22. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it in all things on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it, and by him he dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God, and by him who sits on it. What is being said? There are so many swearing, temple, gold. What the Pharisees were doing was they were giving more importance. That's how they were manipulating people. You can swear by the temple, but that doesn't hold so much water until you swear by the gold. So Jesus was saying, what's more important? The temple? But then when you swear by the temple, who's more important? Who dwells in the temple? God. Right? So there's so many things that they were trying to do only for the sake of really this. They were not telling the truth. That's verse 12 of James. Easy, right? We should just close in prayer, because we're not liars here. We've never really lied. That's one thing that us Christians don't struggle with, right? I don't know. That statement alone makes me cringe, because I feel like I just lied earlier. You know, where are you? Are you almost here? The Filipino answer is 5 minutes away. I'm 5 minutes away. But really, you're just putting your clothes on because you forgot. I'm like, oh my gosh, I forgot. I'm on my way. So we have 3 points tonight. Okay, first point. Simple. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. Just tell the truth. Nothing more, nothing less. Isn't that so much easier? If you've been in trouble before and you had to lie to get out of trouble, you know when they try to grill you, all the more the situation just gets worse. Don't you agree? Have you been interrogated by a cop, by the police? They tried with me. Yeah, because my friends, not me. It was the guys I was hanging out with. You know, they'll ask you over and over and over again. Then they'll reverse the question with the same situation, but then they're just changing the situation. And if you're lying, they can just trace it. Now, the sarcastic person, like me, will say, man, what does it mean to speak the truth? I mean, I know what lying is, but man, speaking the truth? Isn't that a silly question that can easily be answered by saying the opposite meaning of truth, right? Speaking truth means don't lie. No Christ follower should be known as a liar or a person who has no integrity. Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are an abomination of those who keep... lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are His delight. What's the meaning? The message paraphrase says, God cannot stomach liars. He loves the company of those who keep their word. Don't you agree? You have those friends, right? You have those people that you can truly count on. Amen? That if you are in deep need or great need, you call them, and if they say, okay, I'll be there, you can put the money in the bank, right? It's money, check on the mail. Check's in the mail. But if it's another, if it's a person that you couldn't really rely on, and you're wondering why you even called him or her, and then they say, oh yeah, okay, I'll be there. Give me 10 minutes. Oh, now you're sweating bullets. Because you had no choice. All the dependable people said, no, we can't be there. We're in California. And you were down to this one person. And God's saying, can't stomach that person. Simple, right? Ephesians 4:25, the Apostle Paul says the same thing. Therefore, having put away falsehood or lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Amen? Christians should be the most reliable people in the world. You and I must be the most reliable friends that they, our friends, have. This is what this message is saying. You become a person of integrity, a dependable guy. This is why I tell you guys, not me actually, but I just repeat it. This is why I tell you what the Bible says to marry a believer. This is why you need to be connected with other believers. Right? This is why, because they tell the truth and you do too. But then the married person says, is it easy to tell the truth all the time? I said married people, because I get it. You know, I get it. You know, I don't lie to Anna. Especially if she says, do these pants make me look fat? You know, I always tell her the truth. I say, no, of course not. Don't strike me. No. She does it, you know. It's telling the truth can be challenging, is the point, right? It's not always easy to tell the truth, especially for Christians. Because now that you're hearing this message, that we know it, right? God told us not to lie, but now you have the verse now. You're not, all the more now you're in a mess. We admit that we are sinners. And then the justification part was easy, right? But look at this. It's so simple. Tell the truth, but it's so difficult. Let me tell you one reason why. We lie because we want to save ourselves from embarrassment. That's when we lie. We lie because we want to not be in trouble. We don't want to be compromised. The being late is the simple question, right? That's the simple one. But then if Netflix goes around knocking on doors and saying, are you actually owner of the Netflix account that's on your TV? You know, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to go for me. Hi, Pastor Joe. I'm Gary from Netflix. I can see that you're holding Dustin's account here on your TV. I'm like, you know, you're right. I don't know why Dustin didn't turn it off when he was here. Right? It's easy. We try to save ourselves from trouble. That's why we lie. That's why we lie. Where are you? 5 minutes away. Because you don't want to say, golly, I forgot about our lunch date. I forgot. Right? It's difficult. You know, if you're married, you tell the truth all the time. Husbands, say amen. We do. Now, you know what? So again, there is one part of telling the truth, and there's another part of being wise, right? So when I used to ask Anna, so she's the wise one, okay? This is when I was like really letting go of myself. I go, hey, I did 10 push-ups, you know, I feel buff, and I'm like, babe, look at me, you know, looking good, huh? 10 push-ups, you know, look. You know what she says? She didn't tell me that, no, you don't look good. She didn't say, no, you're actually overweight. You know what she said? She goes, you know what I really like when you used to work out? Your arms over here, your delts was like building up. I used to really like that. And she walks away. Misdirection. For the married people, learn the art of misdirection, okay? You're not being rude, you're not lying, but you're also still emphasizing this message. You're still relaying the message, conveying the message in a very gentle way. But see, the reason why we can't be liars, because we used to be liars, right? But it was because we belonged to the father of lies. Remember when Jesus spoke about Satan? Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Which is my language. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. This is why lying is not a simple matter. This is why lying does not make a believer. We're not saying you lose your salvation when you lie, because then I'll be lying if I say that. But in our process of sanctification, there is a lot of things of our old life, including lying, for our point this evening, that must go. It must no longer be a part of our lives. Second point, oath to God. It can easily be misunderstood, James 5:12, that in order for you to not get in trouble, just don't make any oaths. That's what the lazy Christian will see in that verse. let your yes be yes and no be no. I'm like, oh, okay, never mind. I'm just going to keep saying no because I really don't want to commit anything to anything about God. No, it's not really not saying that. What it's saying is, if you make an oath, you have to keep it. In Deuteronomy 23:23, that which has gone from your lips, you shall keep and perform. For you voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God what you have promised with your mouth. God remembers all the promises we made, especially when we were in trouble. Do you remember that prayer you said when you were in trouble? Lord, if you will just get me out of this, Lord. I promise you, Lord, if you will just approve my dad's petition and I go to the States, Lord, I will serve you, Lord God. Lord, if you just help me pass this exam, I promise you, Lord. There's a lot of promises that I didn't keep. But see, the thing is this. God remembers the promises you've made. There was an Israeli engineer, and he was asked by an Iranian politician, like military guy. His help was asked to build, this is a true story, a modern dairy, no, it really is, a modern dairy, I used to lie about those things, right? A modern dairy in Iran. And he hired this Israeli engineer. So they had an agreement, right? So the Israeli, he built it for them. And then it was finished. He called the Iranian. And he goes, hey, I'm finished with the project. It's time for you to cut me that check. The Iranian goes, what check? He goes, that the amount that we agreed upon. It's in our contract. The Iranian goes, let me see the contract. Takes the contract, rips it apart. What contract? Now, this guy is powerful. He was a military leader. The Israeli knows better, right? He goes, I'm not going to win. So he left. But because he is wise, he knew how Iranians think. He did not teach them how to operate the dairy. So the Iranian calls him and he goes, hey, you forgot to train us on how to make this work. The Israeli goes, yeah, but you didn't pay me. He goes, well, but in your contract, you were supposed to train us. And the Israeli goes, what contract? The one that you ripped apart? And the Iranian goes, I ripped it apart because the amount there was too small. I was going to pay you even more because you did such a good job. So the Israeli goes, okay, send a briefcase full of cash and then I'll train you. You see, trouble comes, right? That's a true story. Trouble comes when someone breaks their promise. It was a good business transaction, right? James is not saying don't take oaths. James is saying take oaths, but then keep it. Don't use God's name and make an oath if you are planning to not to keep it in the first place. This is Pastor Chuck Smith regarding James 5:12. God is interested in the preservation of society. He is a God of order. He is interested in the preservation of mankind, the social order, and the community. And one important ingredient is absolutely necessary for any society to be maintained. That ingredient is honesty. We honestly must live together in trust and in truth. When truth becomes meaningless to people, when they make promises they make no intention of keeping, when they give their word, but it means absolutely nothing, you are on the brink of social chaos and anarchy. Isn't that what we're living in right now? There's a new whole glossary of what is true and what is evil, what is right and what is wrong, what is male and what is female, right? They start drawing it up. They're changing things. This is why the reading of the Word, study of the Word, the Bible, which is our guide, it is what tells us what is good and what is evil. Because everything else will change. This is one of the big problems in our world today. Dishonesty. We are already seeing some of the first fruits of the idea that truth is relative. Right? They're saying that. And it's being taught in the schools with our children. They say that truth is what you experience. It is what you feel. If it feels good, do it. Doesn't matter. They're trying to create a world of no absolutes. And they're absolutely sure that there is no absolutes. Absolutely. It dies on its own. There's wars. The Israeli war and the Hamas, because somebody broke a treaty. Divorces happen because somebody did not want to keep their vow. Ecclesiastes 5:4, if you make a promise to God, keep your promise. Don't be slow to do what you promised. God is not happy with fools. Give God what you promised to give Him. When you prayed to receive Christ as your Lord, because you were in trouble, right? Remember the time that you received Christ, you realized that you are a person full of sin, that there was not a day that you did not make a mistake. Remember that? And that you realized that there is nothing that you can do to get you out of that trouble. And that do you remember when you realized, because God revealed it to you, that the only way out of the trouble that you were in was if you received Him as your Lord and you will repent, turn away from your sins. That was a vow you made. Every Christ follower must be honest, truth-sayer. Not a liar. I have in my notes here, I have, you know, Brother Edgar here, man. You know, Brother Edgar, along with Brother John, Tito Orly. You know, I know there's many more of you guys that I know I can count on. If they say yes, that's a yes. It's happening. If I can't be here on a Wednesday and I call Will, if he says no, that means he can't do it. If Dustin says no because his work can't do it. And there's Larry and Loretta when they say, yeah, we're going to go to California, but we'll be back on Sunday. We'll be able to still do what we promise you to do. I know I can put money in the bank with those statements. Do you know people like that? Are you that person? Are you that person that people can count on? You know, if you are a truth sayer, if you are honest, you know what you're also doing without even maybe realizing it? You are being loving. You're being loving. As a person that says the truth, you make people know that you love them, because just the mere fact that if the answer was yes, they know you're coming to the rescue. They know that you will be, you know, we do sign-ups, right? We try as a church. We do sign-ups. We're like, hey, you know, we're going to need some help. Is there anybody that can do this? You know, one thing that I know that doesn't fail is the Pot Bless sign-up. You know, that's why our Pot Bless never fails. There is always food to eat, because the people that says they're going to do this and they're going to bring that, guess what they're doing and they're bringing? Whatever they wrote there. Imagine if everybody brought rice only. Good thing we have soy sauce in the beginning. We can still make it work, you know? Rice and soy sauce. Sugar for some of you. You know, my I'm trying to think, like, okay, what will be a great illustration for the church, you know? Our church, we're just a mixture of different ages and generation. And I can't help but to think it's really marriage. Some of you are already married. Some of you are still trying to get married. Some of you are out of getting... No. Everybody's married, right? Anna and I, we've been married for 22 years this coming March. 316, you know? We've been together for 24 years. We were both followers of Jesus. And when we got married, we were both followers of Jesus. But when she met me, I wasn't a follower. So Anna was not following the 1 Corinthians 6, you know. She was yoking with an unbeliever, and she got in trouble for 2 years. But when we got married, I was a believer. The pastor let us write our own vow. But he said, and I do this too, I did it to the several people that I presided on their wedding, that I asked, and I was asked, to have the traditional vows. And look at this, okay? So those of you who are not married yet, you know, take a picture of this, but I can email it to you if you need it. So let's pretend, you know, I think the last person that got married here was John and me and Dominic. So it says, Dominic, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, right? So he will be saved. Oh, this is Dominic speaking. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I, Dominic, take you, John and me, to be my wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better or for worse, richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish all the days of my life, till death do us part. This is my solemn vow. Now, that's sweet, right? Especially if it's like played over and over, edited properly on Instagram or TikTok. I don't know where you're like, oh my gosh, like, heart, right? But you know, I saw the truth here when Dustin and when my sister was sick, and Dustin was just there for my sister during sickness. You know, my sister was like, she almost died, right? And she got her head shaved. And here's Dustin, you know. My sister just, you know, hospital bed, hospital clothes. Nothing, you know, GQ about her at that moment, you know. Dustin comes in. Hi, honey. How are you, sweetheart? You look great today. And I'm just looking at him sitting there like, this dude. Yeah. I'm so glad that the Lord gave my sister this guy. Because, you know, there's like, man, there was nothing pretty about my sister at that time, you know? But Dustin was looking at her as, this is my bride that I made that vow to years ago. That's what you're looking for. For the single people here, look, you're not always going to be buff, dude. you just need a couple of kids and a couple of bills. You're going to lose. You're not going to have gym time. No. It will take time before you get back to the gym. And girls, ladies, after the first baby, you're not going to be Cindy Crawford anymore. So you have to truly look at this vow, that you're making this vow to God first and foremost. Amen? This is a solemn vow. Because there's no guarantee that our loved one will always be in shape. They will always be beautiful. They will always say the right thing. That they will always be healthy. That you will always be rich. Let's look at it again. Above all, don't swear. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Still in marriage. I know sometimes it seems like what we're teaching here is just, oh, that's not practical. It's just the Bible. You know, it's so old school. It's 2024, man. Get over it. Today's Kobe Day. 2-4, 2-4. Get over it. Okay, let's look at what data from the world says. about making a vow and keeping it, how it's important, and why telling the truth in the premise of marriage, in the context of marriage, really is important. This is from Forbes magazine. Okay? 2021, a total of 689,308 divorces occurred across the 45 U.S. states that report these statistics. During that same year, 1.985 and 72 marriages occurred, making the U.S. marriage rate 6 per 1,000 people. Far more people get married over the course of the year than get divorced. So there's a lot of love stories and rom-coms going on, right? These divorce statistics show that what happens to marriages that end and when how couples decide to end them. Here. How many marriages end in divorce? Half of all marriages end in divorce. It's like you're going to go to Hawaii and then the flight person there at the ticket says, you can go, but I have to tell you, 50% of the time our planes don't make it there. I'm moonwalking my way back to the car. You know, I'm not doing anything. I'm not going there. 50%, but that's marriage. A lot of people love to get married, right? Every year, there's more marriages than divorces. So half is true, but only when it comes to first marriages, half of which are dissolved, like annulled. Second and third marriages actually fail at a far higher rate. So the thing is this, it's not saying that don't get married again if you got divorced, right? What we're saying here is, especially if you're a Christian, you have to change. Right? It's not just marrying another person, but it's actually changing you, the person that they're going to marry. And one important thing is truth-saying. Be honest. Be honest with the commitment that you've made. When do couples divorce? When marriages end, usually some time has passed since the wedding. The average length is 8 years. Oh my goodness, I'm looking at the people that I presided their wedding, okay? You have to pass the 8 years. There's the 8 years, the most challenging time, I guess, you know? 8 years, first year is the honeymoon, maybe the second year still, and something happens, and it ends. 8 years? Their vow, their oath to God only was good for 8 years? Many who divorce don't give up on the institution of marriage. A total of 64% of men and 52% of women get married again after their marriage has ended. They don't give up on marriage. That's good. Don't give up on love, right? But at the same time, in the context of our message tonight, you have to be true. You have to always be saying the truth. You have to be honest. Third marriages have the highest divorce rate, 73%. Right, I think in my thinking here is because you've done it one second, and what's the third time? There's no more commitment. You've developed a habit of giving up. You've developed a habit of just, you know, tired of this. There's no other way but really finding that partner that loves God first and foremost, and realizing that if that person says yes to you, making that covenant with you in that marriage ceremony, you know that if they love God, they know that they're making that oath to God, not just to you. 40% of new marriages include a new partner, include a partner who is remarrying. 60% first marriages for both partners, but as many as 20% of unions involve one person. See, there's some baggage there from the last marriage that's being brought in. Now, if there is no honesty, if nothing is changing, especially about honesty, especially about commitment, about oath-taking, then it's going to end the same way. Only 6% of divorced couples get remarried to each other. See, when they get divorced, only 6%. That's why those Hollywood movies are what they are. Hollywood movies, because there's really the hurt's too much. This is why you don't want to risk it. This is why you want to really value your decision. This is really why you really want to, like, if you're married now, hold on to it. Hold on to it. I'm trying not to drop the mic here, but divorcees are more likely to die earlier than married people. Divorce can have a surprising and long-lasting consequences. One of those consequences is an increased risk of early death. Sadly, the mortality rate is 1,363 per 100,000 for divorcees compared to 779 per 100,000 for married couple. See, it's easier to stay married. It's healthier. It's healthier. You would live longer. Even though you think, oh, he's going to kill me with this. He's never changing. I'm going to die. No, you're not. You'll die fast if you get divorced. Couples who live together, look at this. So this is Forbes, not Bible. Couples who live together before marriage are more likely to divorce. Living together prior to marriage is one predictor of the likelihood of divorce. A total of 57% of couples who did not cohabitate prior to marriage had a union that lasted 20 or more years. That's the marriage you want, right? A lifetime. Compared with 46% who did live together before tying the knot. That includes, when you live together, what are you doing? You're doing the act that it must only be exercised in marriage. You see? This is Forbes magazine. Not the Bible, but the Bible has a verse for this. Many factors could explain this, including the fact that the couples with stronger religious beliefs, you see this? Religious beliefs may be both less likely to live together before marriage and less likely to divorce. Oh my goodness, I can't believe Forbes is affirming the Bible. Praise God. So if you're a Christian and you're still doubting the Bible, hey, here you go. Look at that. This is for you. Now look at this. The Bible also says, like, do not yoke with unbelievers, right? So you saw that, right? The Bible says that you are to only exercise, you know, the marriage, sex in marriage, in the marriage bed, everything you're seeing there. The Bible also says that we are not to, like, be with people that are bad influences to us. Look at this one. Having friends who are divorced increases your risk of divorce. The marital stability within a couple's social network also play a role in whether their unions last. Couples who have friends who divorce have a 75% increase in the risk of their own marriage ending. Even couples with 2 degrees of separation from divorce, they'll have a 33% greater risk. Because of this link, some sociologists believe divorce is a social contagion. You know why? Because you're listening to their stories. You're following their advice. And most of the time, it's negative. You're still married? I don't know what kind of patience you have. Like, oh, man, praise you, man. You have patience. But for me, I couldn't handle it. You know, you're going through that. Now you're like, oh. And you're sad. They're going to say, dude, this is what I'm talking about. This is why I left my wife. You should just end it, bro. And you're like, okay. Because you're surrounded by them. But then look at this. Most common reasons for divorce. Couples report many different reasons for ending a marital relationship. However, these are the most common explanations cited by divorcing couples. Lack of commitment. Oath breaking. Their yes wasn't a yes. They decided that yes was good for 8 years. But my girl has expired. She passed 40. Right? This lack of commitment. See what we're talking about here? Vows. Marriage is not always easy. Forbes magazine is saying it. Marriage is not always easy. So success requires both spouses to be dedicated to their union and serious about making it last. Commitment. Oath-taking. Being honest with your decision. Being true to your oath to God. I can't believe I'm using Forbes to make a point. Lack of commitment spells disaster for a couple. You see it there? That's why it is not surprising that a lack of commitment could spell disaster for a couple. In fact, 75% of individuals and couples cited lack of commitment as the reason for their divorce. This was the most common cause of marriage ending, exceeding infidelity. It's not even infidelity. It's people who lack commitment. This is why, if you're a Christian, you're looking for, not just for a Christian, a person who loves God. Because of their love for God, they know that when they say yes to you, they said yes to God. That even if you're in the hospital bed, not looking so attractive, you are still going to be the apple in their eye. Then even if you experience a financial reversal, your wife will still be there and saying, "Sweetheart, it's okay. We can live with your mom again." We're Filipinos anyway. They're going to love that we're going back there. When we make an oath on God, we are promising to do something. If we break that promise, it's lying to God. Now we saw, right, the divorce, right, marriage. That's a huge impact of someone not being true to their promise. That's someone not being honest with their decision making. Third point, be like Jesus. Where in James 5:12 are we becoming like Jesus? Because James said, he used the word condemned. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, lest you fall into judgment. Or the other version says condemned. So the word hypocrisies, which is the Greek word for condemned, as James used it. Let your yes be yes or your no be no, lest you be a hypocrite. Lest you be a hypocrite. Because there's no more condemnation for the believer, amen? You know, unfortunately, we will lie. We will still lie, unfortunately. Because we're just not that committed at times. You know, somebody's going to ask, "How's my sinigang? Did you like it? Is it good?" And you're thinking in your mind, "I thought it was nilaga." You know, but you're going to say, "It's really good." Right? Sometimes, unfortunately, right, we're going to lie. But there's no more condemnation for us because there's no condemnation for those who belong to the Lord. We praise God for that. But if it were up to us, right, we have to obey God in telling the truth. Because God told the truth all the time. Amen? There was a rich young ruler who did everything correct in his eyes and in the people's eyes. And he went to Jesus and said, "What can I do to earn eternal life?" And then the scripture says, and Jesus looked at him and he loved him. And then Jesus answered the rich young ruler by saying, "Give everything you have to the poor and come follow me." That's what he said. And then the rich young ruler frowned, turned around and left because he had so much. And then Jesus, what did Jesus say? And then Jesus said, "Oh, come here. I'm sorry. Did I say something that offended you? Hey, rich dude, come here. I was just kidding." No. What did Jesus do? He turned around to the crowd and he said, It is so much easier for a camel to enter the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Essentially saying that God, what I'm trying to say is God will not back down in telling the truth to us. He never did, and he never will. The right healing for Christians is sometimes you will hear things that are hurtful, right? When you see the doctor and you're not feeling well, the last thing you want the doctor to not be is honest, right? To not be politically correct, right? You go in there and you're sick and he's like, "Oh, hey, doc, I'm not feeling well. What do you think I have?" Like, "Oh, you know what? You're doing really great, Joe." "Well, you know, I feel like my blood pressure." No, that's just have to keep positive thinking. You look great, you know. You have to affirm yourself. No, you want the doctor to say, "You're eating way too much, and you need to start exercising. You need to cut out the sugar, you need to do more push-ups, you need to hit the gym, you need to stop being lazy, you need to start eating right." cut the rice. You want that, right? God will always tell us the truth. So we have to be like Jesus and always tell the truth. Just because Paul said it, you know, be imitators of me, speaking of himself, Paul, as I am of Christ. Paul always strived to be like Jesus Christ. And Paul always told the truth. In his commitment to Christ, of becoming like Christ, he followed Christ to the death. He followed Christ to the death. We only become like him if we are honest. Amen? In this church, we say to know Christ, to become like him. So there you go. Stop lying, right? If you can't make it to the Bible study because you're just not, you know, you can't give up your 49ers game, just say that. It's a Super Bowl, I can understand, right? Well, you know, Joe, I can't make it because I have to watch a football game. That's a better conversation than, oh, you know, I'm not feeling well. Are you covering your nose when you're, hey, Pastor Joe, I'm not, still not feeling well, but nice. But you're really going to watch the game. Just be imitators of Christ. Follow him. And in Hebrews 6:13, for when God made a promise, this is God, this is why we must be like Christ, following through with his promise. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. And God fulfilled all of his promises to Abraham. God fulfilled all of his promises to us people that he will send his son to be the propitiation for our sins. That is why God came, amen, to rescue us. That was his promise from many years before Jesus was actually born in Bethlehem. You're going to think, okay, I want to be honest. I want to be honest with God. But how do I become really honest? And how do I become a man of integrity or a woman of integrity? How do I obey God? The motivation must come from deeper than just a thing to do, but rather like here, from the heart. Because it's God's command to not lie. If you love me, Jesus speaking, keep my commands. We all know that someone that we can count on, amen? Someone that we can truly count on. If they say, I'll be there, they will be there. If they say they'll help you, they'll help you. If they say, I can't, there's a good reason why they can't. We want to be that person. Amen? Wouldn't that be wonderful that people will see you as that? When the talks happen at work, when they say, you know, man, I know Jamin was so busy yesterday, but I know I could count on him when I called him because he said he was going to jump my car. Even though it was snowing, he came through. I knew I can count on that guy. Be that person. Because it's not because you just want to be cool, right? Because you want to be like Christ, amen? And obey his commands. That's our message tonight. I really hope, as the music team make their way up here, I really hope that as many times, or as unfortunate as it is, that we will not be able to always speak the truth, I really hope that we will continue to love God and have a deeper love for him so that obeying his commands will just be a second nature for us. And if you have accepted Christ in the past, but you have not been really living your life committed to him, and you want to make that commitment, make that oath to him tonight, this afternoon, please come up. Please come up so we can be your witnesses, so that we can be the ones that can pray for you, and so that you will have that moment that you made an oath to God that you will finally live for him. But if you have not surrendered your life to Christ and you know that you cannot live this life, or you are not living this life perfectly, and you need a Savior, and you recognize it in your heart that you need Jesus, please come up so we can lead you into that prayer so that you can be forever saved from your sins. Or if you've been attending this church for quite some time and the Lord has impressed in your heart to become a part of it, come up. So make that commitment to God and to the body. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your message. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for always being honest with us. We thank you for never giving up on us. We thank you for the truth that your love for us never dies, that your grace is never ending, that your mercy is new every morning. We thank you for all those truths, Lord God. We ask, Father, that you empower us, fill us with the Holy Spirit in order for us to be true to our word, in order for us to be true to our promises, not to be shy from making promises, but be very clear, very bold, and very true to everyone and everything that we make. Forgive us, Lord, for the times we failed. Help us, Father, to live for you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all the Lord's people said, amen, amen. Let's all rise for the closing song.